This is your AEW Rampage review for Friday, September 3rd, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. Hope you guys are having a great Friday night. Another Rampage in the books. Number four, I believe. Last week we had the live watch along, which was fun, but tonight, back to business. The post-show review. You're getting a double stream tonight because not only are we talking AEW Rampage, the go-home show to All Out, coming up on Sunday, but we are going to do all-out predictions. I'm going to be running down the entire card and giving my predictions, and I want to hear from you guys as well. So hit that thumbs up. Super chats are open. Hit me up with those all-out predictions. What do you think is going to go down on Sunday? Who do you think might show up? Who's not going to show up? Let me know what you thought about tonight's show. Or if you saw SmackDown, you want to chime in on SmackDown too, feel free. We had actually a very good main event on SmackDown. I did watch SmackDown. We're not going to talk about that here tonight. But a very good main event between Roman Reigns and Finn Balor, at least until the finish. So again, I want to hear from you guys, and we'll save our predictions for a little bit later. I want to get into the show here because we opened with Malakai Black one-on-one against Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson taking up for the Nightmare Family. He was taking it upon himself to avenge all of the attacks on the Nightmare Family, from Cody Rhodes to everybody really that this guy has been knocking out, Arn Anderson, Brock Anderson. Tonight was Lee Johnson's turn. Lee Johnson was like a lamb being led to slaughter here on this show tonight. Malakai Black's got the superstar entrance. I love his entrance. I love the effects. I love the lights going on and off, in and out. I like the mask. But his music just sounds like random screaming. That's what his music sounds like to me, just a lot of random noise. I don't think I've had a chance to actually listen to his theme music yet. I don't even know who sings his theme music. In any event, superstar entrance. What they have done with this guy so far since debuting in AEW, they really have handled him. It's like the tale of two wrestlers as far as he and Andrade. And I think Andrade will get there, but in terms of what they have done with him, in terms of actually seeing him in the ring, right? Andrade, we've seen one match from him in, what, 3 months? Big difference between the two. Malakai, keep doing what you're doing. They gave him a big win over Cody. They're giving him wins, more wins on TV, which I think is exactly what they need to do. They've already set up another match for him on Dynamite next week. This went on longer than I expected it to. I don't know that it had to go this long, but they were telling a story, and I like the story they told here in the opening match. Right away, he's got Lee Johnson cornered. Lee Johnson looks like an animal who's being cornered by people trying to catch it. He looks scared out of his wits. And Malakai's got him cornered right at the start of the match. He avoided a spin kick and a knee strike, and then he surprised Malakai with a back elbow. And the fans started chanting, "You fucked up." I had looked away for a second. I thought maybe he botched a move. But I'm pretty sure they were chanting, "You fucked up," because he actually got an elbow. He popped a move off on Malakai Black. They knew it wasn't going to end well for Lee Johnson. And it didn't. He came back with a leg sweep. They go to a break. And they come back from break. Lee Johnson wipes out Malakai. Wild dive out through the... when I say wild, I mean he just hurled his body through the ropes, took out Malakai Black, down he goes. Johnson gets him back in the ring, goes with a frog splash next. Did not go for the pin. So he hits the frog splash, he does not go for the pin attempt. And he paid for it a minute later when he was sitting in the ring and Malakai just soccer kicked this guy's head into the fucking fifth row. Just kicked him right in the face. He leaves the ring, he's looking around for some toys, and he pulls out a steel chair. And he brings the chair into the ring, and it looks like maybe he's going to use it, but then he's staring at it. He decides to put the chair down, and he's giving it. He's gifting the chair to Lee Johnson, who's trying to come to. He doesn't know where he is. He's laid out on the mat. But he drops the chair, and he offers a free shot to Lee Johnson, and he turns his back. He's giving him a free shot. Here, take your best shot. And Malakai is standing there, and Lee Johnson's all, he's got spaghetti legs as he's trying to get back up to his feet. He's got the chair in his hand, and he hesitates. And you know the old expression, he who hesitates. Well, Malakai Black was done waiting. He turned around, and boom, spinning heel kick. Kicked him right in the jaw. Down goes Lee Johnson. And that was the end of, what does he call himself? Big Shotty? That was the end of Big Shotty. He had one shot. He didn't take it. He paid the price for it. Malachi Black picks up another win. Out comes Dustin Rhodes when the match is over. He grabs the chair. Malachi bails out of the ring before he can use the chair on him. So the match itself I thought was fine. It went, like I said, a little bit longer than I expected it to, but they're telling a story here. Now, he told Lee Johnson, and here's why I didn't mind it so much, because I saw some people on my timeline going all this, and even in the chat here, because we've had the chat open for a while, and people were like, oh, you know, in a match like this, Malachi should not be going that long. Remember the, I know it was so short you might have missed it, but when we were reviewing Dynamite on Wednesday, one of the segments from Wednesday was a very short video with Malachi Black. And in about 60 seconds or less, he was recapping the program so far with the Nightmare Family. And he said, Lee Johnson, you know, with Cody, I made it relatively quick. Brock Anderson, he made quick work of him. He goes, with you, I'm going to make you suffer. And so that was the story they told tonight. He didn't beat the guy right away. He said he was going to make him suffer. So I didn't mind that so much. And I liked the story they told. He is picking people off here from this group one by one. And guess who's next? Guess who's next? Dustin Rhodes. They come back from break. Mark Henry is in the back with Dustin, who's apparently beside himself. Mark Henry's asking him to calm down. Dustin Rhodes says, well, first he challenged him to a match on Dynamite next week. So these two are going to have a match on Wednesday. And Dustin said, there's, you know, you've got a dark, kind of a darkness about you and a dark past. I'm the same way. He goes, there ain't nothing that you could do to me that I haven't already been through or put myself through in his 5 decades in this business. Basically, you don't scare me. And he said he'll see him on Wednesday at Dynamite. Nice, you know, passion. Dustin, when he's on the microphone, you know, he still has that old school baby face fire that you really, you used to see that more like in the NWA in the mid to late 80s. You don't really see it too much anymore, unfortunately. A lot of the promos are kind of the same, or they don't have that kind of fire. Well, Dustin's an old school guy, and he could still cut a promo, and so I thought it was a good promo. We're going to get the match on Wednesday. No room. We got a full card already on Sunday. There's no need to shoehorn it in there. As it is, I'm probably not going live on Sunday night until midnight. I already know how these pay-per-views go. I know how these AEW pay-per-views go. We're not going live until midnight. I'll be going live on Monday morning talking about this pay-per-view this weekend. They don't need any more matches on the card. But I enjoyed what they did here with Malachi Black, and all they have to do is stay the course with this guy. Let him continue to rack up wins. As I said on Wednesday, even when Cody comes back, I don't see the need to give Cody a win over this guy. You can rematch them, but if you do, I'm not even sure you have to, but if you wanted to, I'd like to see Malachi win again. It's like feeding him wins only makes him stronger as he works his way through the roster and he works his way up the ladder, and eventually he'll work with guys like CM Punk and Bryan Danielson if he debuts, and Darby Allin, and Jungle Boy, and Hangman Page. I want to see him work his way up the ranks. Cody does not need his win back. And Cody's brother will definitely not be getting a win on TV next week. We had God's favorite champion, Miro, out next to talk about his TNT title defense against Eddie Kingston coming up on Sunday. Let me say welcome to everybody who is joining us here on a Friday night. If you would be so kind to hit that like button if you are hanging around here. That does help the stream out. I don't mention it enough, but our great mods. Miro's God's favorite champion. Well, God's favorite mods are manning the chat here on the stream, and they want you all to hit that thumbs up. So Miro comes out to talk about his TNT title defense on Sunday against Eddie Kingston. He says, you know, Eddie Kingston took the coward's way out. Well, not the coward's way out, but he took the easy road. And he basically said that he took a contract with AEW as a charity case. He basically said your contract was a charity contract, Here's this guy who's been wrestling independently for so many years, finally gets his big break working for AEW, and he's calling him a charity case. Because you knew Eddie Kingston wasn't going to let that stand. You knew it was only a matter of time before he came out. Miro said he's not into charity, and neither is his God. And he said Kingston has become nothing more than just a bat boy for John Moxley. That brought out Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston said, God's favorite champion, that's bullshit. Said Miro's God is not real to him, but if he was, then he was sent here by his God to punish him. Eddie Kingston doesn't have time for your religious bullshit. That's what I got out of this promo. Kingston said, you know, all his signature moves are weaknesses for Miro, and he also mentioned the DDT, and that's part of the story that they've been trying to tell, is that Miro is vulnerable to the DDT. He's like the anti-Samoan. You drop him on his head, and it's like his Achilles heel. So they've established that in storyline, that if Eddie hits the DDT on Sunday, we could have a new champion. Could be over. And Miro's telling him, you take one more step, because Eddie's doing this promo in the aisleway. And Miro says, you take one more step closer to this ring, and I might have to redeem you here tonight. And Eddie laughs about that, and he starts taking his jewelry off, and he grabs his nuts, and he says, redeem these nuts. And he runs into the ring, and as soon as he gets close to Miro, Miro bails out to the floor. Eddie eventually goes after him. Miro clobbers him, though, with the TNT title. He didn't see it coming. And he clobbers him with the TNT championship. Super Game and Chill Bros just became a sound-off superstar. Thank you for becoming a member here on the channel. I appreciate it. He's our first new channel member of the night. So Kingston has been knocked down. I thought he was going to do a juice job. I was like, come on, we don't need blood. Can we go one show without blood here on an AEW show? Did we have blood on Wednesday? I don't even remember. To me, every AEW show feels like we have blood, either hard way or planned, you know, blading in a match. We didn't have any blood tonight, thank God. But he waffled him with the belt. Miro tried to suplex him in the ring, but Kingston recovered, and he left Miro laying, hit the spinning back fist, he hit a DDT. So again, they wanted to establish that Eddie Kingston has a chance. He's got a shot. If he can hit that DDT on Sunday, we might have a new TNT champion. They needed to do something with these two. I mean, I think that, especially Eddie Kingston, he's a great promo. You could have promos, you know, video packages, vignettes, and that would have been okay. But there had to be some kind of final go-home type segment between these two to really, you know, send this thing home. This was very basic. This was very, you know, paint-by-numbers stuff, but I thought it was effective. I don't think Eddie Kingston has a snowball's chance in hell on Sunday, but they had to make you think that he does. And to that end, I think they did their job here. We had Chris Statlander in a handicap match against Rebel and Jamie Hayter. It was not tornado style. They had to make tags in and out of the ring. Britt Baker was out there with them in their corner. Hayter started things out with a lockup with Statlander, pulled the hair, and they pulled Statlander into the heel corner. She and Rebel took turns. They were tagging in and out. They took turns beating up on Statlander. Allie just became a Sound Off superstar. Sent me a very long email, very nice email earlier. It's good to hear from Allie, and thank you for the support. So there was a suplex, kind of. It kind of looked like a suplex from Rebel. She tries. There were some kicks from her. Statlander fired up, and Statlander clotheslined Jamie Hayter off the apron. She got Rebel in an electric chair position. Jamie Hayter came at her, and she picked her up in a crossbody type position. This was impressive. Statlander has Rebel on her shoulders. She is now holding Jamie Hayter. What is she going to do? Well, she falls forward. She falls forward. She drops both of them. The power slam electric chair drop combo, I guess you would call it. Impressive stuff here from Chris Statlander. That took out Hayter. Statlander locked on a Spider Crab submission on Rebel for the verbal submission. No tap out because I think her arms were locked up, so she gave up. Chris Statlander picks up the win, heading into her championship match with Britt Baker on Sunday. After the match is over, Britt Baker gets up on the apron. We've got Jamie Hayter. She's on one side. Britt Baker's on the other. Chris Statlander is cornered. She's got nowhere to go. Red Velvet comes down to make the save. Crowd went mild for Red Velvet, but that was the entire segment. Again, they had to establish that Chris Statlander has momentum going into this title match on Sunday. She is undefeated so far this year in the company. I think after tonight, I believe she's either 16-0 or 17-0, including singles and tag team matches in 2021. So again, very basic stuff. I mean, the match itself really wasn't anything great. The most impressive thing was the spot that I just told you about with Chris Statlander. That was impressive. Jeffrey Hall, salute. This became a sound-off super. That's three new members in the last 3 minutes. Can we make it number four? He just became a sound-off superstar. You will find a join button below this video and all videos on this channel if you're not a member. If you're wondering what the hell does that mean, what's the difference between a member and a subscriber, click that button. It'll give you all the information. By the way, I didn't mention this at the beginning. I hope everybody is safe. We had some wild weather this week, including here in New York. A lot of flooding in the area here. Thankfully, you know, a lot of the houses on this block seem to be okay. But it was like, you find parts of New York, it's like going down a fucking river. I mean, it's pretty bad. So hopefully wherever you are spared, or the damage was minimal. We got an announcement on this show that although it is not happening on Sunday at the pay-per-view, which was very disappointing that they had to pull the match between Pac and Andrade, we're not going to have to wait very long to get the match. Tony Khan had said the other night that it would be postponed to a future episode of Rampage. We now know when that episode of Rampage is going to be. 7 days from now. 1 week from tonight on Rampage, we will get the match. It will be Pac one-on-one against Andrade El Idolo. Kelton Young joining the crew, becoming a sound-off superstar here tonight. Kelton, it's good to have you. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's one of the matches I was most looking forward to at All Out. Now it gives me a reason to get excited about Rampage next week. 1 hour. The show is 1 hour, and probably I would give half the show, frankly, to that match. But at least a quarter of the show next week is going to be Pac against Andrade. It can't possibly be anything but at least a good show next week. If nothing else, it guarantees a good show next Friday. I thought tonight's show is actually pretty good. But next week is shaping up to be even better. It's better than the main event we had tonight, and I thought the main event tonight was actually a good main event. That's going to be a great main event. But tonight we had Darby Allin one-on-one against Daniel Garcia. CM Punk making his big entrance yet again, his third Chicago entrance in the last couple of weeks. He'll have a fourth one on Sunday. He came out to do commentary. By the way, the commentary team tonight, Excalibur, Taz, Mark Henry for at least the first match or two, and Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho was back on commentary. He was less obnoxious tonight. He had certain moments, but it felt like he toned it down a little bit. So he was better, and it was pretty cool having him interact with CM Punk on commentary. Obviously, those two have a history together. I thought Punk was really good on commentary. You know, talking about how he's preparing and, you know, where's his cardio at. So you've heard me talk about the fact that this guy, Daniel Garcia, he came out of nowhere. I didn't know anything about him a month ago. All of a sudden, he's making appearances in major matches on Dynamite, on Rampage. This was his second Rampage main event. There have only been 4 Rampage shows. He's been in the main event now of half of them. One against Jon Moxley and tonight against Darby Allin. Now, he hasn't been very successful, but you can tell that they have, you know, big plans, or they see big things in his future. He's still, I think, pretty young, but he's impressive. You know, you can see that there is something there, and they recognize it, and they're putting him in these big match situations, and he's not wilting. He's actually, he's delivering. I thought tonight we had a good match. a competitive match between him and Darby Allin. By the way, Punk made his entrance at the beginning here. And again, he climbed into the... He didn't jump into the crowd so much as he did when he debuted, but he did go into the crowd. He climbed into the crowd again to take another COVID bath here in Chicago. And one of the fans in the crowd walks up to him. He's got a beer in his hand, and he offers it to CM Punk. And CM Punk just looks at him, and he has this look on his face like, are you for real? What? So, yeah, no, he did not take the beer. He's like, are you crazy, dude? Anyway, I noticed Punk was also wearing a Bret Hart shirt. I like this guy's style. See, I knew there was something about CM Punk that I liked. I like his taste. Rocking the Bret Hart gear here on the show tonight. And Ali just upgraded his membership to Sound Off. Look at this. This guy just became a member, and already he is upgraded to Sound Off Legend. Now we got two legends in the chat. But seriously, what the fuck? See, that guy was probably drunk, so that's why he offered him the beer. CM Punk, he has not had a sip of beer in his life. I don't think if he was going to start that it would be from some random dude in the crowd saying, here, try this. I would not advise about, you know, doing something like that. I would say, you know what? I'm going to crack open my own beer backstage, dude. But thank you for the thought. I appreciate it. So Darby took Garcia down right at the beginning, started laying in some ground and pound. Garcia went out to the floor to try to gather himself and regroup. Darby went outside after him, and this was insane. This was insane. It would be insane on any show, but this was insane 48 hours before the biggest match of his life on pay-per-view to even take this kind of risk. We know Darby Allin does a lot of dumb things. He takes risks. He puts his body on the line. He takes some ridiculously dangerous bumps. It's like a turn-on for him. He came... I mean, when I say running, he was running towards Daniel Garcia on the outside. Daniel Garcia either ducked out of the way, he sidestepped him, whatever it was, and Darby went just ass over tea kettle over, there was a table at ringside, and he just went flying over the table, right up into the barricade. I don't know if he smacked his head on the barricade or if he smacked his head on the floor or what, or he could have. He took a nasty spill. I mean, that was a nasty landing on that bump. And he's lucky he didn't split his head open. I'm just watching that. If I'm Tony Khan in the back and I see this, I'm like, my God, my main event. My main event for Sunday. What are you doing? What are you doing? Andre Israel, thank you for upgrading. And you too, Super Game and Chill Bros. Just became a member tonight and already he is upgraded to Sound of Legend. That gives you access to retro audio, the original episodes of the Sound Off. You can't find them anywhere else. I got the first 11 up. I'm going to be working on number 12 next week. I got to strip out some of the music that obviously YouTube will not allow. So other than that, it's all going to be there. That's one of those extra perks you get when you're on the Legend tier. So thank you. So Darby Allin, hopefully he's not concussed. It's just, again, why even take the risk? This is going to be the biggest match of your career. Why even take the risk? Sting, meanwhile, Sting's having a blast. Sting's just kicking people's asses every week. He's on the other side of the ring beating up 2.0, who was out there in Darby's corner. I like 2.0. I like 2.0. I used to talk about them when they were Ever Rise in NXT, and Matt, they called him Matt Martell when he was in NXT. He's the loud one. I just find him amusing. So, I actually like this trio, putting them together with Daniel Garcia. They call him, he's our son. But I think they work well together. And really, they're in the perfect spot because Sting, they want somebody that Sting can beat up. They're perfect for it. They can feed in for him. Sting can kind of beat their ass. It gives him something to do. So, I like the pairing. I like putting Garcia with 2.0. Garcia also, when he speaks, he's kind of a low talker. So, not really a great promo guy. Again, he's very young. 2.0 can do the talking for him, as they did before the match tonight. We had sort of pre-match interviews in the back. You know, Mark Henry is the the conductor between them, and 2.0 was doing most of the talking. So that's the right role for him. But we had a reversal from Darby coming back out of the break. He tries going for the Fujiwara armbar. Garcia rolls to the ropes. He locks on a modified chin lock, starts fish hooking Darby's mouth. And Darby was able to climb the ropes and fell backwards. So basically what happened here is Daniel Garcia had a choke locked in on Darby Allin, a rear choke. And Darby's trying to figure out a way out of this thing because this kid will not let go. So Darby climbs up on the middle rope and falls backwards. Basically, he did a coffin drop. It's like a modified coffin drop to try to break the hold. And he does. And now there's a double down. Both men are down. The referee counts to about five or six, I think, before they finally stand up. And Darby hits the Pepsi twist. And CM Punk has a smile on his face. And he says, boy, you know, he did that better than I used to do. And he said, not bad. Not bad on the Pepsi twist. The Pepsi twist, not the Pepsi plunge. This was the Pepsi twist. Maybe we'll see a Pepsi plunge on Sunday. That was somebody else's move in WWE, although I never saw Triple H do it from the ropes or anything, but maybe he'll bust out a Pepsi plunge. Would you pop for a CM Punk Pepsi plunge off the top rope? Because you know Darby Allin would take the move. He'd be like, shit, sign me up. Let's put some fucking tacks on the floor too. And you can Pepsi plunge me right down face first onto the tacks. He would take it. I'm sure he would be game for something like that. I think we might see a few moves from CM Punk that we didn't really see him use in WWE. We might see some new things or some old things from him in the match on Sunday. But Darby hit a code red for a near fall. And then he locked on his Last Supper cradle, I believe is what he calls it. The Last Supper cradle for the three count. Immediately, 2.0 rushes the ring. 2.0, Garcia now 3-on-1. They're beating down Darby. Sting ends up brawling with Daniel Garcia on the outside. So he's on one side. And Sting is just, he's having a blast. He's beating up Daniel Garcia. On the other side, closer to the aisleway, 2.0 is beating down Darby Allin. CM Punk, over at the announce desk, he stands up, throws down his headset. He starts to walk down to the ring. And he walks down there. He's exchanging words with 2.0. As 2.0 is sort of backing away from him. And you don't see that coming in from the ring at about 75 miles an hour is Darby Allin with one of his dives out through the ropes. He wipes out 2.0. He stands up, immediately comes face-to-face with CM Punk on the outside. And that is appropriately how they ended the final show before All Out. This is the real main event on Sunday. It may not go on last. In fact, we'll get into the predictions here in a second. If things go the way I think they're going to go, I don't think this is going to go on last. But make no mistake, whether it's last or second to last, this is the real main event on Sunday. In Chicago, his first match in 7.5 years against one of the biggest baby faces in the entire company. Now you got two of the biggest baby faces in one match. This is the main event. So they had to end with this. They should have ended with it. I thought this was a very enjoyable episode of Rampage. I thought this was a very good show tonight. And again, the one-hour format, it just flows. You know, they don't have to worry about overloading it with everybody the way they do on Wednesdays. You know, sometimes on Dynamite, they try to squeeze so much in that you don't really have time to breathe and to let it settle. You don't really have that issue here on this show. So I thought this was a pretty strong show. Heading into the pay-per-view on Sunday. Did you agree? Why, yes. Yes, you did. 87% thumbs up, about 13% thumbs down. And as I look at the poll that we have in the chat, 93 up, 7 down. So let your voices be heard. You got two thumbs, right? Two opposable thumbs. Then you can vote in these polls. Maybe we'll check him again a little bit later on. Maybe. Possibly. Perhaps. I want to thank everybody, by the way, who has become a channel member or upgraded their membership here tonight. We've had a whole flurry of activity here on a Friday night. Love to see it. I'm feeling the love from all you guys tonight. On Sunday, we got a big show coming up, episode 720. I will be talking All Out, obviously, because the pay-per-view is that night. I am going to get into the Daphne stuff. I'm going to save that for Sunday. I don't really want to talk about that tonight. I want to do it justice. I have a lot that I want to say and talk about her career and some of the things that she's been through. Very, very sad story. If you were with me on Wednesday night during the Dynamite stream, that was in the middle of everything. We didn't know what was going on or how it was going to end. And, you know, we found out, unfortunately, the next morning it did not end well. But we'll talk about her. We'll talk about a whole bunch of different stuff on Sunday. But I just wanted to give you a little preview of what's to come, plus the final installment of This Week in Wrestling History. It all comes to an end on Sunday. Got a lot to cover in there as well. So it's going to be a good show. Hope you guys will join me then. Want to see a magic trick? Boom! Look at that. Oh, I feel like David Blaine. Let's talk about All Out. AEW All Out is this Sunday, back again at the Now Arena in Chicago, where they were not only on Wednesday, but they were there tonight. They're going to be in that very same building again on Sunday. And for those of you, and this is probably going to be a very crowd-pleasing announcement. I know it was for me when I heard this earlier, but if you are in the United States, your only option up to now, unless you had a VPN, was to watch the AEW pay-per-views on BR Live. BR Live is no more. They've now migrated everything. They've basically migrated Bleacher Report Live into the main Bleacher Report app. So it's not that big of a difference, really. But if you still have the BR Live app on your phone or your tablet, you're not going to be able to watch the pay-per-view through there. It's under the main Bleacher Report app. So log in there or install it. Make sure if you've ordered AEW pay-per-views before, make sure that everything has migrated over. You should have access to all the shows that you've ordered before. And if not, you got to get that taken care of. I don't want you having any surprises before the pay-per-view goes on the air and it doesn't work. But the announcement is that you now have another option. You don't have to watch the pay-per-view on Bleacher Report on Sunday. You can watch it on Fight TV, which is probably what I'm going to be doing. It's going to be the same price, $50. But if you are in the U.S., you can now watch the AEW shows, at least this pay-per-view, on Fight TV as well as Bleacher Report. Your choice. I'm going with Fight. In the past, when I've used the Fight app, I've not had any issues at all. So that's my personal choice. But if you were not aware of it, as Hit Row says on NXT, if you didn't know, now you know. You're welcome. So, this show sold out the day the tickets went on sale. The day the tickets went on sale back in July. And that was even before the rumors started circulating about CM Punk. They moved about, I think it was in the range of 10,000, 9 or 10,000 tickets that day. So the show, I think, is officially sold out. I'm sure it's going to be a hot crowd, Punk's first match back and all that. This is the third all-out pay-per-view. The first one in 2019 was headlined by Chris Jericho beating Hangman Page to become the first ever AEW World Champion. Last year's show was held at Daly's Place due to the pandemic. That show was headlined by Jon Moxley defending his AEW World title against MJF. And this year's show is headlined by the return of CM Punk for the first time in more than 7 years, taking on Darby Allin. And the expected debut of that man, right there. The man you see on your screen. Actually, you got a dead ringer right next to him, right? It could be either one of us. It could be me. But that guy right there, Bryan Danielson. All the rumors point to him making his debut appearance in All Elite Wrestling on Sunday. That's all it is right now. It's just rumors. Tony Khan being very coy, AEW not announcing anything. It's like the Punk debut all over again. We don't know, but we kind of know that he's going to be there. The only question is, what is he going to be doing? So let's run down this card and all of my predictions. And again, I'm going to get to all your super chats. If you've got predictions, let me know. And we'll read them out here in just a little bit. I mentioned the match between Pac and Andrade postponed to Rampage next Friday. We were told that it had to do with some kind of travel issue, I assume related to Pac. And, you know, Andrade, I was wondering, you know, when was it exactly? I couldn't remember the date. I know it was on Dynamite. But I could not remember the day that Andrade debuted. It was June 4th. Andrade debuted on AEW television on June 4th. In the 3 months since he debuted, this man has gone through two managers, and he has had a grand total of one match on television against Matt Sydal. That's it. That's all he's done. Otherwise, it's been a whole series of backstage interviews and vignettes and stuff. And it's been a very uneventful run for him so far. So he needs this match. This match is more important to him than it is to Pac. And the win is going to be very important as well. But it's important, I think, just to get him in the ring. When I say quality opponent, I'm not trying to knock Matt Sydal. He's a hell of a wrestler. But Matt Sydal is not anybody who is a major player on this show. Pac is not, at this point, a major player. But he's still he's the biggest name that Andrade has seen so far. Those two, I think it would be impossible for them to go in there and have a bad match. I can't imagine that they would go in there and have anything less than a very good match. Andrade needs this match next Friday. He needs to go in there and have this his first really great match and show people, okay, yeah, maybe I don't have a lot of the flash and stuff as some of the other guys. Maybe I haven't had the fancy entrance and everything that Malakai Black has had. But I am as valuable a signing to this company as anyone else that they have brought in, except maybe CM Punk. So that's going to be a very important match for him next week. When he's had one match in 3 months, he needs to go out there and blow people away. That's what I'm going to be looking for next Friday. With that match off the card, the Women's Battle Royal has been bumped up from the buy-in to the main card. And it is taking its place, is now a 10-man tag. They tried to just squeeze as many people into this match as they possibly could. And so now on the buy-in, it's going to be Matt Hardy, Private Party, and TH2. That's Jack Evans and Angelico. Taking on Jurassic Express, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Wheeler Yuta. I'm going with the babyfaces. I don't have any particular reason for going with the baby faces. I just feel like Jurassic Express, I don't see them losing on Sunday. Now, they already lost out on going to All Out and challenging for the tag team titles. I think they pick up the win. I'm going to give it to the baby faces here. I think they go over. So now we get to the main card. And we have the Women's Casino Battle Royale, with the winner earning a future AEW Women's Championship match. They did not say when. I guess it's kind of like a Money in the Bank thing where they can cash in, so to speak, whenever they're ready to claim their title match. But the lineup is full. And in fact, not only is the lineup full, they may be going one person over because they added somebody. I don't know if they mentioned it on the show tonight, but this happened before Rampage went live. But let me run through the lineup here. Riho is back. She's going to be in the Battle Royal on Sunday. Nyla Rose, Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa, Hikaru Shida, she's also back. Emi Sakura, Ty Conti, the returning Anna Jay, who returned on Wednesday's Dynamite show. Julia Hart, Big Swole, The Bunny, Red Velvet, Penelope Ford, Abaddon, Kylan King, Legit Layla Hirsch, who had a great showing against Camille last weekend at the NWA Empower show, the all-women's pay-per-view. Rebel, Jamie Hayter, Kiera Hogan, and Diamante. That makes 20. Now, normally in these Battle Royals, there is a Joker entrant at number 21. That is the surprise entrant. Tony Khan has said there will be a surprise entrant in the Battle Royal. And I'll get to her in a second. However, earlier tonight, and I guess this is a bit of a spoiler, but who gives a shit? Earlier tonight on AEW Dark, which will not air, I guess, on YouTube until next Monday. Is it next Monday? No, it's Elevation. So I guess next Tuesday. But there was a match. There was a match between Red Velvet and Sky Blue, who is someone, independent wrestler, who I believe has wrestled a few matches in AEW before on Dark. Sky Blue, from the people in the building, and even some of the tweets that I got from the people who were live in the building tonight, she got an amazing reaction. She was, for whatever reason, Sky Blue was super over. She was, her reaction was sky high, is what it was. The people love Sky Blue. So impressive was the reaction to Sky Blue during her match tonight. And I saw the video. Tony Khan walked out after the match was over, and he motioned for them, for the women, to come on up on stage. And Red Velvet was arm in arm with Sky Blue, and they go up there, and Tony Khan says, "How'd you like to be in the Battle Royal on Sunday?" And Sky Blue had no idea this was coming. You could see her reaction. She was shocked. She was not expecting that. But Tony Khan was so impressed by the reaction that he heard that he went out there and basically gave her a spot in the Battle Royal. Now, I don't think she's going to replace anybody, because that would be pretty shitty, right? If you're one of the women in the Battle Royal who gets bumped for Sky Blue, you know, you're not going to feel too good about that. But I also don't think he's going to just not include a Joker entrance. So it looks like we're going to have 22 women in the Battle Royal on Sunday. As far as the Joker entrant, I think I'm probably on the same page with a lot of you guys. I'm predicting the Joker will be Ruby Soho, the former Ruby Riott, making her AEW debut. I have to put over the social media videos that Ruby has been putting out. I think they've been really well done, shot very professionally. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that you would think AEW would be producing, or even WWE. They're very well done. And the last one that she put out, she was in New York City. She was not in Chicago. So could she be debuting in New York in a few weeks? I suppose it's possible, but I'm going to say that she's the surprise entrant on Sunday. Ruby Soho is my pick for that, but not my pick to win. Who is my pick to win the Battle Royal? My pick to win the Casino Battle Royal is Thunder Rosa. I'm going with Thunder Rosa for the win. Actually, I was going back and forth between Thunder Rosa or Anna Jay. And the reason I was thinking Anna Jay is the last time we saw Anna Jay, she was supposed to wrestle Britt Baker. If you remember, earlier in the year, there was a women's world title eliminator tournament. And I think it was it Mizunami? Rio Mizunami, I think, won. One of the Japanese women, I think it was Mizunami, ended up winning the tournament. But Anna Jay got hurt. She suffered a shoulder injury, and she was not able to wrestle Britt Baker. And so they put somebody else in her place. I don't remember who it was. It was someone who I don't think has been on television since. Well, now Britt Baker just so happens to be the AEW Women's Champion. And Anna Jay never did get her match against her. So I could see Anna Jay getting the win if the idea is that she's going to get a title match on TV in a few weeks. It's just a challenger for Britt Baker to beat. There is a story there of you and I were supposed to wrestle. We didn't have our chance. I never got my shot. I got hurt. I was screwed. She came out to a great reaction, Anna Jay did, on Wednesday. So I think her winning the Battle Royal, I think, would be a crowd-pleasing choice. And it's a babyface for Britt Baker to wrestle on TV, maybe on that Dynamite Grand Slam show in New York, and you do the championship match there. So I'm going to go with Thunder Rosa, even though I kind of wanted to go with Anna Jay. I was kind of flip-flopping all day between which one I think is actually going to go over there. But as far as Thunder Rosa, you know, she's got the history with Britt Baker. She beat Britt in that unsanctioned main event they had on Dynamite earlier this year. Sounds like an easy setup to me. Now, I don't necessarily see her having a match, let's say, in a few weeks and winning. It's too soon for her to win the championship. But could they have a match where, you know, Jamie Hayter and Rebel get involved? Jamie Hayter is the heater. Hayter is the heater. They just put her, literally just put her, a couple of weeks ago with Britt Baker. Britt Baker is not losing the championship. Not yet. She didn't get a new bodyguard, a new friend, just to turn around 2 weeks later and drop the belt. So you could do a match with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker in a few weeks, and Rosa gets screwed, and then they, you know, they run the match back at Full Gear in November. Maybe you do the title change there. So I'm going to stick to my guns. I'll go with Thunder Rosa for the win. Anna Jay is my dark horse pick. And Ruby Soho will be the Joker entrant in the Battle Royal. And Jacob in the chat says, Jade Cargill wins. Well, I mean, Jade Cargill wins, and then what? And you got two heels. Yeah, I mean, I know people cheer for Britt Baker, but she's not a babyface. At least they don't book her like one. She doesn't act like one on TV. So I don't know that that match really makes a lot of sense. Jade Cargill's had about 11 matches in her career. Everybody who was saying it's too soon for Thunder Rosa, it's way too soon for Jade Cargill. I would hold off on that well into next year. Paul White, one-on-one, making his AEW in-ring debut against QT Marshall. I'm calling him QT Marshall. All of a sudden, they're calling him QT Marshall. When did this begin? When did this start? He wasn't QT Marshall a year ago. Did he decide that I'm going to just change my name and change the pronunciation of the name? QT Marshall. He's QT Marshall. Okay, don't be fancy about this. Don't be cute, QT Marshall. It's like me saying, I'm not the Solomonster. I'm the Solomonster. The Solomonster. I want everybody to call me the Solomonster from now on. Yeah, please. QT Marshall, one-on-one with Paul White. The shorter this is, the better. The shorter this match goes, the better off we'll all be. Billy Gunn with his spawn turned heel on Dynamite Wednesday night. He hit Big Show with a chair. Paul White is not losing his first match. And I would be, you know, I would be kind of upset if they put Paul White in there with a young up-and-coming AEW star. QT Marshall ain't no young up-and-coming AEW star. So I have no issue whatsoever with giving Big Show a win over QT Marshall. Fine. Fine with me. He's got to beat somebody, right? QT Marshall and Billy Gunn are the people he should be beating. He shouldn't be in there beating Miro. He shouldn't be in there beating Lance Archer. He shouldn't be in there beating any of those types of guys. So this will be a Paul White win. But why would they bother turning Billy Gunn heel and doing the angle that they did on the final Dynamite before a big pay-per-view? Think about the timing of this. Why would they do that if they weren't planning for something to happen either during this match or after this match? Just think about that. And I kind of threw this out there on a whim. If you were with me on Wednesday night, I was only half joking. But on the Dynamite stream Wednesday night, I threw out the idea. I said, you know, maybe they'll have Shaq come out when the match is over and have a big face-off with Paul White in the middle of the ring. And as I was putting my predictions together, I thought about what I said on Wednesday, and I said, you know, I think I might be onto something. That really doesn't sound all that far-fetched. And I'll tell you why. Let's say Paul White wins. The Gun Club runs back out. Or maybe they're already at ringside, but they jump in. And they jump Paul White. It's Billy Gunn. It's Colton Gunn. It's Austin Gunn. Right? Is that all the guns? I think that's all the guns. Tommy Gunn. Peter Gunn. So they all jump Paul White. And all of a sudden, Shaquille O'Neal shows up as a surprise, unannounced, to help Paul White clean house on Billy and his boys, which leads to Paul White and Shaq going nose to nose in the middle of the ring, teasing a future match, a match that we have never seen. It's been teased and talked about for so long. We're going to get a match between Paul White, the Big Show, and Shaquille O'Neal, and we never got it. They had a face-off in a Battle Royal many years ago. They got physical on an episode of Raw. But every time they wanted to do a special attraction, like one-on-one type match, there was always some issue on Shaq's end and they couldn't make it happen. Well, Shaq has already done a match in AEW. And in fact, he's done interviews or maybe it was on the NBA program that he's on TNT, he's made it very clear he's going to wrestle again for AEW. He wants to come back and do another match for AEW. Paul White wants the match. He's dying to have it. Well, here's their chance. This could be the setup. Even if they have no plans yet on when they would do the match, just to tease it and put them face to face so people know the match is coming. That's what I think the Billy Gunn angle was done for on Wednesday. It had to be done for a reason. I don't want to hear that they did the angle because the next program for Paul White is going to be with Billy Gunn. I don't want that. But if it's going to lead to something here with Shaq, I mean, look, you can't argue that that wouldn't be an attraction for them to go with. But there's a reason they did that angle on Wednesday, and I think that's it. John Moxley, one-on-one against Satoshi Kojima from New Japan Pro Wrestling, a former two-time IWGP Heavyweight Champion, former Tag Team Champion, G1 Climax winner. He has been a very successful star over there in New Japan. The man is 50 years old. He can still go, although I must say, they had footage on the show tonight when they were running down the card. There was some kind of press conference, it kind of looked like a pathetic press conference, but there was a table. Moxley was sitting there. Kojima was sitting there. Moxley overturned the table. They started throwing shots at each other. These were the weakest looking shots that I have ever seen. And not just from Kojima, from Moxley. It's like he was almost like he was pantomiming. So hopefully they'll turn up the intensity level during the actual match. It was disappointing to find out that of all the New Japan names that Moxley could be wrestling on this show, that it would have been Kojima. Just because I think of the bigger names, you know, at least the slightly younger names, the bigger names that he could have gone up against. And I understand there's reasons why it didn't happen. Scheduling, COVID, travel, you know, the G1 is coming up. Tanahashi had to go back. I get it. And we'll get the match eventually. We'll get Moxley and Tanahashi. We'll get Moxley and probably a whole bunch of different people. Maybe Moxley and Will Ospreay. But I was a little disappointed when I heard who it was going to be. But I look at this and I say, you know what? There is a way to make this work. If the match with Tanahashi, which they are already building towards, it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. If the match is going to happen, let's say in 3 months, 4 months, right? What do you do with Jon Moxley in the meantime? And we could sit here and talk about AEW ideas for him. Maybe he goes heel. Frankly, I think Moxley could use a heel turn. Make him a little more interesting. He's not really doing much at the moment, but they just gave him that new music. That's a babyface song. I don't think he's coming out to that music as a heel. So what do you do with Jon Moxley to build to the eventual, you know, big match with him and Tanahashi? Why not have him start running through a whole multitude of New Japan names? You know, Sunday at the pay-per-view, it's going to be Kojima. I would love to see him get back in the ring with Minoru Suzuki, and there's no reason not to do it because Suzuki is working matches here. I think he's working the GCW show soon. Now, if that's next weekend or when, though, maybe it's this weekend. So maybe Suzuki is a name, but I thought of another name. I thought of another name, a name that Jon Moxley is actually very familiar with. He lost to this man. This man handed Jon Moxley his very first loss since leaving WWE. And his first loss a couple of years ago in the G1 Climax. Of course, I'm talking about Toru Yano. Wouldn't it be great if they could fly Yano over here to the U.S.? Moxley's, you know, calling for New Japan guys. Tanahashi, I want you. Send me someone. And then he sees that Yano has been sent over. A man who put a dagger right through his chest in the G1 a couple of years ago. I'm telling you, he would get over. Even the people who don't know who Yano is. And I think the majority of the AEW fan base would probably know who he is. But even the ones who don't. I think if you did that match on TV, I think that match would get over huge. Yano is one of those. He's like R-Truth in WWE, where even though I'm sick of the 24/7 nonsense and I don't even really pay attention to it anymore. I mean, that's not R-Truth's fault. R-Truth is very entertaining at what he does. Yano in the same way, very entertaining at what he does. Let's bring Yano over for a match with Jon Moxley. I want him to be one of his next opponents. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defends the AEW Women's Championship against Chris Statlander, who I believe after tonight is now, by my math, I believe 17-0, counting all singles and tag team matches this year. She is undefeated. You can't take the title off this woman right now. It would be insane. As I said before, they just put Jamie Hayter with her new heater. She's not losing the title. Britt Baker is not losing the title now. She is not losing the title this month. She's not losing the title anytime soon, nor should she. So I don't have much else to say about it. I thought what they did tonight with Chris Statlander was fine. They gave her a win in a handicap match. That and her being undefeated has set her up as having a real chance on Sunday. But she will not succeed, and Britt Baker will retain her title. Period. End of story. Not much else to say about that. Here we go with another one. Another very straightforward prediction here. Miro defending the TNT title against Eddie Kingston. Very straightforward. Miro calls himself God's favorite champion. And he's running through all the men here on the AEW roster. He's plowing through all of them. Eddie Kingston came out tonight on TV and said, I got your number. My whole moveset. The back fist. He singled out the DDT, which has been the Achilles heel for Miro in a lot of his matches, although he hasn't been beaten yet. I like the promo segment from earlier tonight, and I like that they showed Miro has a vulnerability going into the match on Sunday. And like I said, he's like the anti-Samoan. You drop him on his head, and he's out. You do that to a Samoan, he'll get up and he'll bite your nose off. But Miro is Bulgarian. He is not Samoan. That is his real Achilles heel. So I see this. Eddie is going down. He's going down. He's probably going down fighting. I would say probably passing out in the game over, right? The accolade, the camel clutch. He calls it game over. It's going to be game over for Eddie Kingston on Sunday. And Miro retains the TNT title. So we have a couple of people who are convinced in the chat that we are going to see CJ, Lana's husband, or Miro's wife. Miro's wife, I'll get it right. The former Lana. They think Lana is going to debut. You know, Lana as a manager is fine with me. Lana as a wrestler is just no dice. No dice. As a manager, I'm fine with it. I don't even know that he needs her, honestly, though. You know, but he set it up. If they ever want to debut her, he keeps every now and then he'll talk about how flexible his wife. I have a hot wife. But I don't see her, you know, factoring into the finish or anything. I don't think she's needed right now. I like what Miro is doing. I like what they're doing with Malakai Black, and I like what they're doing with Miro. And I did not like what they were doing with Miro a few months ago. But ever since he got rid of the dead weight in Kip Sabian and started taking things more seriously and really just, you know, destroying people, this is the kind of, you know, kind of badass character I pictured him doing when he came into the company. So I wouldn't meddle in that formula. I don't think it's necessary. Chris Jericho takes on MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Jericho does not win. He will never wrestle another match in AEW. He has also threatened all of us by saying that if he loses, he will simply go and do commentary on Rampage full time. And even though he was a little more tame tonight than he has been in the past, that doesn't mean he'll be that way every week. So that still concerns me. I still take that as a threat that he will do commentary full time, that he will never wrestle again. If I'm being completely honest and being completely unbiased here, even though I have said we must root for Jericho to win because we can't have that, but if I'm being completely unbiased here, let's forget that. Let's forget Jericho's threat. about commentary. MJF should win this match. No doubt in my mind. MJF should win this match. He is going to be a gigantic star for this company. You know, even bigger than he is now. Right now, he's not even factored into the top, you know, program in the company. He's in a pretty high-profile program. But I'm talking, like, in the future, top guy. And even though it seems wrong of me to even think of him as a babyface, all heels eventually go baby, and all babies eventually go heel. Unless your name is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So, as big as he can be as a heel, and he could be the champion one day, I think one day, I'm looking like far down the road, he'll be an even bigger babyface. So this guy has gigantic superstar potential in this company, or even if he was to leave AEW, I don't think he's got no reason to want to leave. I don't know that if he went somewhere else, they would even allow him to be the MJF that he is on TV here every week. But the point is, he's going to be a gigantic star for them. There's no doubt about it. And I'm waiting for him to get in there and verbally joust with people like CM Punk. So he's on his way up. There's no need for Chris Jericho to beat MJF, other than just in a vacuum, the story they're trying to tell, just as an isolated story, you would think, okay, well, the babyface, can we even call Jericho a babyface? You heard his commentary tonight. He called some guy in the crowd fat. Who is he talking about? Orange Cassidy. When they were running down the card for Sunday, he called Orange Cassidy an idiot because he had feuded with him. He didn't sound like much of a babyface on commentary tonight, but apparently that's what he is supposed to be. But in a story like this, you know, normally the babyface will get his comeuppance, and the babyface, or the heel will, and the babyface will triumph, you know, good over evil and all that. Jericho has lost all these matches. He lost at Blood and Guts. At some point, right, he's got to get his win back. But does he? Does he really? It's like Cody and Malachi. Does he have to get his win back? No, he doesn't. They don't have to follow the typical pro wrestling storyline formula. They could just keep putting these newer faces and younger faces over and just elevate them, continue to elevate them. Chris Jericho is who he is. No amount of losing on this show is going to change the fact that Chris Jericho is a legend, and he's a former world champion, he's a future Hall of Famer, he's all of those things. And if he goes on a 20-match losing streak, he'll wake up on you know, day 21, and he'll still be Chris Jericho. So I look at this and I say, well, even though it seems set up for a Jericho win, I personally would like to see MJF get the win and beat Jericho for, I guess, what would be a fourth time. Because they say he's got three wins over him. I know the Blood and Guts, and they had another match. I don't know what the third one is, but this would be, I guess, his fourth straight victory over Chris Jericho. And to that, I say, why not? I mean, imagine Jericho trying and failing again. You know? He tries to win, he can't do it. Now imagine MJF gets to go around for the rest of his career as the guy that Chris Jericho simply couldn't beat. He had four shots, he had four chances at it, and he couldn't do it. And he's got to live with that now for the rest of his career. That could be another feather in the cap of MJF. I'm the man that Chris Jericho, this multi-time world champion, the man who beat Stone Cold and The Rock in the same night, the first ever AEW world champion, right? Hall of Famer. And he couldn't beat me. He tried and tried and tried and tried, and he couldn't beat me. I actually like that story better. So that's what I would want. But I don't see Jericho losing and then not wrestling again. AEW has, more than WWE, typically honored their stipulations. And I look at Cody. Cody lost to Chris Jericho a few years ago, thanks to MJF. And he can never again challenge for the AEW championship. Now, I do believe at some point he will. And there are ways around that. Cody can win a tournament. Cody can win a battle royal to earn him an eventual title match. But so far, they've stayed true to the stip for what, 2 years now? And Cody has not sniffed the AEW world title. So I don't see Chris Jericho losing and then not wrestling anymore. Because What are you going to do? You're going to have Jericho come back in a couple of months and he'll only be part-time? I don't think that Tony Khan would want to renege on the stipulation like that. I don't think they want to insult their audience that way. So because of that stipulation, I don't see Jericho losing. I think Chris Jericho is going to win, even though it's not what I would do. But these are predictions. These are not hopes and dreams. And so I'm predicting a Chris Jericho victory. And look, MJF, even if he loses, MJF will be fine. But I do think Chris Jericho is going to win. I think Jericho would benefit, frankly, from not being in the ring as much anymore. The Chris Jericho that we see today in the ring is not the Chris Jericho that was in the ring even 5 years ago. And so if he was to kind of go part-time only for big special attraction matches, I think that would be the way to go. But I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. If you were to ask him, I think he would tell you, no, I feel great. I can go another 5 years. So because of that, I think Jericho wins. We've got the Lucha Bros defending the AEW Tag Team Championship, or rather challenging for the AEW Tag Team Championship. Boy, it's after midnight. Cut me some slack. Lucha Bros are challenging for the AEW Tag Team titles in a steel cage match against the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt Jackson. This is a rematch from the first All Out 2 years ago. That was a ladder match for the AAA Tag Team titles. Penta and Rey Fénix picked up the win in that match. Before Wednesday's show, I would have said that the Young Bucks retain. I would have called this as a win for the Young Bucks had I not seen them pin Rey Fénix after the Meltzer driver in that main event on Wednesday and go off the air the way that they did, with the babyfaces trapped in the cage, being beaten down, Penta being cuffed to the rope, I think Fénix too being cuffed to the rope. Once I saw Rey Fénix be the one to take the pin in that match, it changed my mind completely. I flipped on the finish of this match. So I am going with the Lucha Bros to win, for the first time, the AEW Tag Team titles. The cage exists to keep all of the elite lackeys out of the ring. It has gotten very tiresome seeing Brandon Cutler, you know, spraying people in the face every single week. I mean, he is just spraying dudes in the face every single week. And it gets old after a while. So, and sticky. So anyway, I'm tired of seeing it. I know they do it for heel heat and all that, but it's, to me, it's been going on long enough. It's gotten very tiresome. I think they will try to get involved, but I think Penta and Fénix finally unseat the Bucks as the champions. And then, because we got to take this a little bit further. So they win the tag team titles on Sunday, and then they defend the titles at the Dynamite Grand Slam, September 22nd in New York City, Arthur Ashe Stadium. Penta and Rey Fénix defend the tag team titles either in a three-way match against FTR and Santana and Ortiz, or the Bucks may be added and you end up getting a four-way. So I think we get a three or four-way tag team title match at Arthur Ashe Stadium on the 22nd. Largest crowd in AEW history. They're going to have over 17,000 people in the stadium. You want to do something special that night. You want to do a whole bunch of special things that night. You give them a big tag team title defense on that show. And I don't see it being one-on-one. I think they would want to fit an extra one or two teams in that match. And Santana and Ortiz win the titles in that match. They win the titles in their hometown. Because there's not enough time to do a third match between them and FTR and then do a tag team title match in New York. Because of Wheeler's injury, I think it set the timeline back. So you almost have to do at least a triple threat, because both those teams are one win apiece. So unless you can squeeze the rubber match in the next couple of weeks, it's only right that both of them would be able to challenge for the belts. The Bucks, I could see them adding the Bucks, though. That's why I'm thinking maybe a four-way. The Bucks aren't going to be left out of that show. They're going to need something to do. But I think Santana and Ortiz then win the belts. I think it's going to be a short reign for Penta and Rey Fénix. And I think after that, Maybe not that night, but I do believe that then leads to Penta and Rey Fénix going heel and linking up with Andrade. We were talking about this idea the other night. Somebody had floated that as a possibility, and I was really, really intrigued by that idea. And as much as I like Death Triangle, we don't really get to see them together very often. Penta and Rey Fénix are sort of doing their thing. Pac, it feels like, can't travel here half the time. I think Death Triangle is no more. I think Penta and Fénix, even though Fénix, the way he wrestles, it's almost like, how could he be a heel? But I think they link up with Andrade and they end up going heel when they lose the belts. I think they sort of snap and they go to the dark side and they take Andrade and Chavo up on their offer, and we have a new faction to replace Death Triangle. That's my prediction for how all of this plays out. CM Punk back in the ring. His first match in a very long time in Chicago, one-on-one against Darby Allin. This is the real main event. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. This match is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I don't know what to expect in the ring from CM Punk. I've not seen him wrestle since the Royal Rumble in 2014. That's the last time I would have seen him in a match. So I don't know what to expect. Now, he's older. He had a couple of fights. Although it looks physically like he's probably in a better place than he was the last time we saw him in WWE. 7.5 years away from the wrestling ring will allow a lot of nagging injuries to heal. But we don't know what to expect. Nobody does. Not even CM Punk knows what to expect until he gets in that ring with Darby Allin. But I don't even think it matters. I don't think it matters. They're in Chicago. This is going to be the most forgiving crowd that you have ever seen. If CM Punk is doing stuff that doesn't look good, if CM Punk and Darby, maybe they, for whatever reason, they don't have good chemistry, they're botching stuff, this is going to be the most forgiving crowd in the world. They are just going to be happy to be there. They're going to be chanting and cheering during this match. I mean, it'd be like Hogan in Sky Dome at WrestleMania 18. Hogan didn't do much because he didn't have to, because he had the crowd in the palm of his hand. And they went nuts for him because they love this guy. That's how Chicago is going to treat CM Punk on Sunday. It's going to be like their Hogan in Sky Dome. That's going to be Punk at the Now Arena on Sunday for that match against Darby Allin. So I think regardless, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this match. Sting made it very clear on Dynamite Wednesday that he will be there to fist bump Darby, and he's headed right to the back. He's not going to stick around out there because it's not about him. It's about the two men here in this match. So Sting is not going to be ringside. Sting is not going to factor into this finish or into this match at all. Darby said that he's going to give Punk the fight of his life. CM Punk should not be losing his comeback match in Chicago. He just shouldn't. I think it would be booking malpractice. You have somebody who, even though Roman Reigns doesn't think he's a needle mover, I think for AEW, he is a needle mover. He might not be a needle mover the way that, you know, a WWE star would be, just because their numbers and ratings are generally higher than AEW. But Punk came back and he was good for several hundred thousand extra viewers on their TV show. He sold more t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees in one night than anybody in the history of that business on that website. So you know what? For AEW, he is a needle mover. And when you have somebody like that who comes along, and that doesn't happen very often, you don't beat him in his first match in your company. This is a match that Darby Allin can lose, and he will actually come out of it stronger for it. Darby Allin loses nothing by being pinned in this match. Nothing. I would not have him submit in the Anaconda Vice. I would have him either pass out in a submission hold or get kneed in the face and pinned. I would not have him submitting, but Darby Allin will come out of this match stronger. This is such a huge opportunity for him to go in there as one of the biggest baby faces in this company. This is the biggest match of his life. And all he has to do is go in there and be competitive and have close near falls and have just an outstanding match with CM Punk. Nobody is going to care that he lost. They're going to think, wow, that was such a fucking great match. And Darby Allin looked like a fucking star. That's what they're going to think if they can pull this off. So I love the match. I love the not even a styles clash. I feel like these two are going to work really well together. Darby's going to bump his ass off and make Punk look as good as he possibly can, you know, even if he gets gassed. And I think these two are going to go out there and tear it up and tear the house down in that building on Sunday. This is going to be a big win for CM Punk. And then we have the AEW Championship on the line. Kenny Omega defending against the Impact World Champion, Christian Cage. Undefeated so far in AEW. They had Omega drop the Impact title to Christian to establish that Christian can beat him. They wanted people to understand this could very well be what happens at All Out. He beat him once, he could beat him again. Even though you and I both know he ain't beating him again. Kenny Omega is going to retain his AEW World Championship. He is not losing twice to Christian Cage. Unless there's some unknown injury that I'm unaware of and his arm is about to fall off and they have to rush him into surgery, Kenny Omega ain't dropping this belt on Sunday. He is going to win. He is going to retain his title over Christian Cage. I thought their match on Rampage a few weeks ago was excellent. A very good match. Probably the best match we've seen, even more so than the tag team match. Best match we've seen so far in these first few weeks on Rampage. So I expect this will be no different. I think this will also be a very good match. The only thing different will be the outcome. This time, Omega goes over and Christian takes the loss. The only question is, who, if anyone, comes out when the match is over to confront Kenny Omega? Now, if Hangman Page is available to be there, then I would question why he wasn't just put in this match in the first place. So I would have to assume that Hangman will not be there to confront Kenny Omega when the match is over. I predict that this will be where we see the AEW debut of Bryan Danielson, the second worst kept secret in all of wrestling outside of the debut of CM Punk, which I feel like everybody and their mother already knew about. We're going to see Bryan Danielson come out. I think we're going to see a stare down, a stun Kenny Omega, whether it's face-to-face in the ring, whether he comes out and he's in the aisleway, whatever it might be. We're going to hear the music. He's going to come out. The place is going to go nuts. And he doesn't have to say a word. They go off the air with this huge reaction and people wondering, why is he here? Why is Danielson, even though it seems obvious, why is Danielson here? Well, you know what? You're going to have to tune into Dynamite on Wednesday night to find out. And then they start promoting the fact that here, Bryan Danielson, for the first time, he'll cut his very first promo on Dynamite this Wednesday. That's how you hype it up. And that is what I think ends the show. If Danielson is going to be coming out, then I think you have to end the show with that. Even though we know Punk and Darby is the real main event. If there's going to be a big surprise at the end of the show, it has to go at the end of the show. Which is why I think the title match is going to go on last. It's always a risk. It's like Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania. Triple H and Chris Jericho, they paid a price for that. Rock and Hogan should have gone on last. The people were there to see Rock and Hogan. They were all tired. They were all worn out by the time that match was over. But I think if they've got a surprise up their sleeve, I think the crowd will still give it a big reaction. I think you got to save that as your show closing moment at the very end of the night. And if Danielson is not going to be there, or if he is, but he's going to show up and start some kind of program with somebody lower down on the card, then you can end with Punk and Darby. But if it's for Omega, then the Omega match has to go on last. If they sign Adam Cole, I want to just bring up Adam Cole here for a second. If AEW either does or already has signed Adam Cole, for people wondering, do you debut him on the show? The answer is no. If Danielson is going to be there, if Ruby is going to debut in the Women's Battle Royal, as I think both of them will be on this show, you do not need Adam Cole to also be on this show. There is a point that you reach where it's too much. They have a full card, right? 10 or 11 matches, I think, on this card. They've already got, you know, look, I mentioned Shaq. Now, maybe it's pie in the sky, but let's say I'm right. You got a Shaq cameo. You've got Ruby debuting in the Battle Royal. You got Danielson showing up. I mean, this guy was in the main event of WrestleMania this year. That's a pretty big deal to get him. You don't need Adam Cole on the same show. You've got other big shows coming up. You got a big show in New York coming up in a few weeks. Save him for then. You do not need him on the show on Sunday. By the way, on the subject of Adam Cole, we have an update. Not really, but a minor update from Fightful Select earlier, saying that people in WWE have told them that Adam Cole was very adamant in their discussions with him that he be able to keep his Twitch profile, his Twitch account, if he were to stay in the company. They said that this was considered non-negotiable on his part. He was adamant that if he was staying or was considering staying, he would only do so if he was allowed to continue streaming on Twitch. And the fact that WWE has not signed him to a new deal, and he may be all but signed by AEW, think about that. That tells you right there that Twitch, it could be Twitch that is the reason why Adam Cole leaves WWE and ends up in AEW. And how fucking ridiculous that sounds. Nobody would be happier than I would to hear that news. I hope he does leave. If they are going to be hung up on this Twitch thing, that is precisely the reason why he needs to get the hell out of that company. But just the idea that they could have reached a deal, and he may have left anyway. I mean, I'm not saying this is the reason, you know, this is the only reason. But to think that this could be either the reason or one of the major reasons that prevented him from staying in WWE after spending, what, 4 years in NXT? Vince McMahon meets him. He wants to keep him. He's telling the writers to start coming up with ideas for him. But goddamn it, you know, he won't let go of that Twitch, so we're going to have to let him go. That is asinine to me. Absolutely ridiculous. He goes on Twitch and calls himself Chugs. His Twitch has nothing to do with wrestling. And to think that that could have been the reason why Adam Cole leaves and starts his career anew somewhere else is absolutely ludicrous to me. But all the more reason why he needs to get the fuck out of there. That's your all-out card. The Solid Monster has spoken. And he will be live on YouTube. Back with you again in less than 48 hours on Sunday night / Monday morning. Because again, I think this show's probably going to midnight on Sunday. But as soon as the pay-per-view is over, you can come on back here. We'll have a full recap. So this would be a great time. I don't see enough dancing Nakamura's on my screen. Subscribe if you are not a subscriber to the channel. Now would be a good time to subscribe, and then make sure that that notification bell for alerts for when I go live is turned on. Not everybody has it in the on position, or it's only on part of the time. Make sure that bell is on for all notifications. And when I go live, you will be the first to know. So I look forward to seeing all of you, hopefully, back with me again on Sunday night. It's going to be a big stream. We're going to have a good time. Looking forward to it. You know what else I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to reading your super chats. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to reading all of your predictions and your messages, your questions. I'm going to read them all before we head out for the night here. So let's hang out for a little bit, have a little super chat party. You guys can chime in if you have questions or comments, reviews about Rampage tonight, All Out on Sunday. This is the time where I turn it over to you guys and find out what you guys think of pretty much everything. If we agree or disagree. Let's see. Coggies. I see Coggies in the chat. What's going on? Yeah, that's right. Coggies says more likes. Hit that thumbs up. That's right. Leave a like, you marks. I sound like Carl Anderson now. Boy, I don't want to sound too much like a douchebag. I'll give you one guess as to who wins said tweet on the show on Sunday. It's not a prediction, that's a spoiler. All right. Ali, who is a brand new channel member at the, I believe, a Sound of Legend. Hey, Louie. Louie just subscribed. But Allie dropped $10. Says, I hope you got my email. And rest in peace, Daphne. I did get your email, as I said. I will try to respond when I can. But just know that I did get your message, and I do appreciate it. Nayef Al-Safar dropping $9.99. Thank you, Nayef. Allie, again, Mets will finish the season 85-77. Your thoughts? Well, they're lucky. If they end 85-77, they'll be lucky. Because for a while there, they were playing like they didn't even deserve that. You go up, you go down, you think they're doing well, and then everything sort of collapses, and then they kind of get on a hot streak, and then something else goes wrong, and somebody gets arrested for DUI, and somebody else does something stupid. It's, you know, the one thing I'll say about this team, it's never boring. But that's not always a good thing. Ryan Spies. One of the women's wrestlers on the dark tapings was legit so over that she got offered a Battle Royal spot. So that's cool. That's right. Sky Blue. She is in the Women's Battle Royal on Sunday. Couldn't pick her out of a lineup, but she'll be in there. Food Hive. Way to sell a match, Dustin. Truly a natural. Well, he's an old school guy. I mean, Dustin's been doing this since birth. You know, I mean, his father is Dusty Rhodes, right? One of the greatest promo men of all time. And Dustin's been doing this for a few decades now. He's not exactly a newbie at this. So I think he knows what he's doing when it comes to the art of the wrestling promo. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. I love AEW. You had a match where an alien from another galaxy fought a makeup artist and a British bounty hunter who worked for an evil dentist. Samoan Fan 101, Rampage was better than Raw this week. Well, I mean, that's just a low bar to set. Although there was a very good triple threat match on Raw Monday night. And then whatever the fuck that was with Charlotte and Nia Jax. And I'm going to have a lot to say about Nia Jax. Well, you guys are going to want to tune in for the show on Sunday. That's all I'm going to say. Nick Grasso dropping $20. It's hard for me to really get into anything right now because I have been really down the last 24 hours or so. Daphne was one of my favorites going back to when I first saw her in WCW, RIP Scream Queen. Yeah, I think a lot of people have felt the same way. It's been a very sad couple of days since that happened. And we'll talk more about Daphne on Sunday. Jacob Donnelly, dropping $30. Jacob, thank you. You're the man. After All Out, do you think it's time for a Jon Moxley heel turn? It's funny, I was just talking about that. He feels a little directionless, and with the story being others have started to steal his spotlight, it would be cool to get a heel turn we never got in WWE. I'm all for it. I just don't see them doing it right now because of the music. I know it sounds kind of silly, but yeah, I don't think they're ready for that just yet, but I think at some point next year we are going to get a heel turn. Temjin Zephyr, dropping $9.99. I remember Punk mentioned that him and Brian were like Brett and Shawn on the Art of Wrestling podcast. Do you agree with that statement? And who would be the Brett and Shawn amongst the two? Interesting. Well, I mean, Brian was trained in part by Shawn. So there's some influence there. I mean, I see it in that they're both smaller guys who had to crawl through shit to get to where they ended up being. It was harder for them than it would have been for someone who was, let's say, 6'2", or bigger. So I see similarities in that way. And if you had me compare who's the Brett and who's the Shawn, you know, Brian is kind of a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I mean, just from a technical aspect, he reminds me a lot of Brett. But boy, you know, the attitude and everything that we've seen in the past from Punk, that reminds me of late 90s Shawn Michaels. So it's tough. It's not such a cut and dry kind of thing. I see elements of both in them, but I would say probably I would go Punk as Shawn and Brian as Brett. Raging Texas 85. Hey, Sala Monster, dislocated my left knee July 29th, waiting on September 30th for my MRI x-ray. Can I get some prayers and keep up the great work? I'm sorry to hear about your knee. That sounds very painful. And I hope everything turns out well. Why did you have to wait so long, though, for the MRI? That's crazy. I would have tried to get that done a lot sooner. That seems like an awful long time to wait for an MRI. Well, hopefully you're not in too much pain and you get that taken care of, because that does not sound like fun. Tyrone Dunstan with the $10. Greetings, Sala Monster, Alex Wright, Disco Inferno, and Norman Smiley. Who has the best dance moves out of these three WCW legends? Keep up the great work and have a great weekend. Alex Wright, I mean, come on. Alex Wright, if I was ever at a party or something, you got to do the Alex Wright. Alex Wright had the whole, like, what did he do? He put his arms behind him, and he would be like this, right? He would be dancing like this, or, like, I can't do it. I mean, I'm not the Wonder Boy like he was, but you got to go with Alex Wright. I know Norman Smiley had the big wiggle and fuck Disco Inferno, but I would go with Alex Wright. Rob Reed. Actually, Rob and Bob, kind of the same thing, right? People used to call my father Bob, but he was Rob. Anyway, has anyone found Lee Johnson's head yet after that black mass? Yeah, I think it's in about the seventh row at the Now Arena. It'll be on eBay in a few hours. The GIF lover. Do you see Bray Strowman, Eric Rowan becoming the new Dark Order if they come to AEW? And if so, who would you add being the fourth member? No, I don't. I do not see that. Raging Texas. Hey, Sala Monster family and Sala Monster, love hanging out during the live streams while I'm at home healing up my dislocated knee. Again, hopefully you'll get that taken care of. And you'll set it back in place. I had my shoulder pulled out of the socket once when I was younger by my mother. Not that she was abusing me, but just as I was walking, I think, either up or down the stairs. I think I tripped and she grabbed me and pulled my arm out. Didn't realize it either. I had dinner, everything was fine. It took about half an hour, and all of a sudden I was in a lot of pain. And went to the hospital, I think I went to the doctor. And at that point, I was crying. I was in tears. All of a sudden, the doctor just sort of grabbed my arm and went, poof, put it back in, and stopped crying. So, that was it. Raging Texas again. Great to see CM Punk again after waiting for so long. Rodimus Prime dropping 25. What's going on, Rodimus? Hope you're having a good Friday night. Besides college football tomorrow and All Out on Sunday, this weekend is going to be great. That said, other than Punk against Darby, what match are you looking forward to on Sunday? The tag team match. I think the cage match is going to be ridiculous. I mean, just given who's involved. It'll be interesting because we see those guys doing dives out of the ring so often, and now they're not going to be able to do that. So they're going to have to make use of the cage, much the way they made use of the ladder in their match 2 years ago. So I think that match is going to be pretty insane. And of course, the other match I'm looking forward to clearly is Paul White against QT Marshall. The Sala Monster is looking forward to seeing QT Marshall against Paul White. Rob Reed again. I would love to see Punk do a Pepsi plunge on Sunday, but I also don't want to see him blow out his knees in his first match in 7 years. Probably a good idea. Raging Texas again. Thank you, sir, for the 99 cents. Rob Reed, Daniel Bryan had the weirdest debut ever, offering CM Punk a beer from the crowd. How dare you? Did you see that guy in the crowd? The guy looked like Rob Zombie, not Daniel Bryan. I'm offended by that because everyone says I look like Daniel Bryan. So you're implying that that guy in the crowd looked like me. And I take issue with that. I take that as a direct insult. Epsilon Sama. Punk has drink beer whiskey with Harley Race. Okay. Well, then I guess he went straight edge after that. But I know he claims he hasn't had a drink in many, many years. Jerry Lawler, too. Jerry Lawler has said that I think he's never had a sip of alcohol in his entire life. Will Rob what? What will Rob do? Will Rob with the 25. Greetings, you milky liquor. A little jerky boy's humor there. Had to go ahead and join. The jealousy got the best of me. Thank you, sir, for continuing to do the wrestling god's work. I have a Jerky Boys audio cassette. I used to listen to their stuff all the time. And I think I still have it, actually. I think I still have my Jerky Boy. I don't even have a Walkman to play it on anymore, but I think I have it up in the closet somewhere. Magician Sapphire with the $10. It seems like the Rampage commentary is more balanced this time around, and Mark Henry is starting to find himself, but Jericho confuses me. He's a babyface as a wrestler, but a heel on commentary. Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, he called that one guy fat. He was heeling on Orange Cassidy. I think that's just Jericho being Jericho. Carl Farnham. I'm going to not just All Out, but next week's Dynamite and Rampage. Pumped to still be able to see Pac against Andrade. Looks like I'm in for a good week of wrestling. Keep up the great work, Solomonster. Well, you have a great time, man. That's going to be... Being at all three of those shows, especially Sunday, is going to be a lot of fun. I have a lot of friends who are in Chicago right now. I'm jealous. You know, most years I would be there. I would be in Chicago. I would have been in Vegas probably for SummerSlam. Not so much that I care about being there for SummerSlam, but I love Vegas. Yeah, but it's kind of a shit show right now. So we'll be here. We'll be here on Sunday night as soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air, but have fun. Super Game and Chill Bros dropping $5. Could not join the chat, but seeing Daniel Garcia just go, pardon the pun, all out is really cool to see him everywhere. He seems to be one of their young stars on the rise. I like what I've seen from him so far. So it looks like he's got a bright future ahead of him. Dry Chicken Without Flavor last year on September 5th, All Out was the worst pay-per-view. This Sunday, at All Out could potentially be the best pay-per-view in AEW history. And the most purchased. I think that if this pay-per-view does not turn out to do the best business of all their pay-per-views so far, that would have to be considered a disappointment. You've got CM Punk wrestling his first match in 7 years. There's no reason for this pay-per-view not to outperform all the other ones that they've had so far. There's no reason for it not to. Ojali Burgos, Bianca ate the promo up and left no crumbs. A superstar of the highest order. Yeah, how'd you like all that piped in crowd noise too on SmackDown? You notice that? They thought they were going to get that past us? You don't get past these ears. Yeah, Bianca did fine, but the piped in crowd noise, it just ruins everything. It just ruins everything. And it was on full display in that segment with her and Becky on SmackDown tonight. Team Forwood with the $2. SmackDown is not the same without Pat McAfee. Well, he will be back at Madison Square Garden next week. They are loading up that MSG show. Brock Lesnar is going to be there. They're doing the rematch with Edge and Seth Rollins. But the big return is going to be Pat McAfee back on commentary. Rizzo, dropping 10. I don't know if this is a compliment or not, but you give the most thoughtful and classy eulogies that I have heard. I know these can't be easy, especially the Brody Lee one. You had me tearing up. Well, I appreciate that. I wish I didn't have to do them. But unfortunately, there seems to be far too many of them. We were just talking about Bobby Eaton a few weeks ago. But I appreciate that, because it's a tough thing to talk about sometimes, especially when it's someone young. And you just hope you're doing them justice and covering all the key stuff and saying the right things. And, you write some things down just to make sure you don't forget certain points that you want to make. And yeah, I'm going to get into some of the TNA history and the injury stuff and the workman's comp suit and all that. You know, so there's going to be a lot to get through there, but otherwise you're just kind of, you know, shooting from the hip. You know, you're kind of just shooting from the heart and the head, and you hope it comes out okay. So we'll try to do justice for Daphne on Sunday on episode 720. Let me change this music up a little bit here. Paul Heyman, our old friend. In light of the NXT news this week, does this mean we're going to get Vince and Bruce doing the infamous Triple H point picture pose with the NXT talent? Highly doubt that. Yeah, they'll be pointing. They'll be pointing to the exit door when they fire the next batch of you know, 12 people that they're going to kick out the door. They'll be, there it is, right there. There's the exit. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Ryan spies Triple H fears Riho. All right. Dry chicken without flavor. I also predict Ruby Soho will draw the Joker. My second option who could draw the Joker would be Deonna Purrazzo. Interesting. She was just on the NWA pay-per-view last weekend. But unless she was going to win, you know, she's really one of their top names in Impact. I don't know that they would want her in the Battle Royal just to lose. So I don't see it. Mario DeRose dropping $4.99. Thank you, Mario. Mario. Buy or sell Bret the Hitman Hart or Macho Man Randy Savage? Who is the greater? Come on, man. I love them both. I always said Macho Man was truly the total package when it came to what I look at as a professional wrestler. He could work, especially in his younger days. He could have great matches. He could be a babyface. He could be a heel. He cut these just unbelievable, you know, entertaining promos so he could talk. And just the gaudy outfits and the colors and the tassels. He's like a walking cartoon character, and you put him and Elizabeth together, they were the perfect combo. So everything that I would look for in a pro wrestler was the Macho Man. But as far as Bret Hart goes, I mean, Bret is just the best. I mean, what else is there to say? He's the GOAT. I mean, come on. And I'm looking at it more in terms of his work in the ring. And not just the great matches that he had, but the fact that when I would watch a Bret Hart match, more than Savage or anybody else, it felt real. Like you knew it wasn't, but you want to kind of get lost in the match and watch it and believe that this person is in a real battle and a real struggle. And he would throw these punches. You know, Bret's up there on the list with people like Scott Hall and Jerry Lawler, Jeff Jarrett for throwing a great work punch. Everything he did, everything he threw, every punch he threw, every move he did, it looked good. You know, it didn't look weak. It didn't look really overly phony or anything like that. He wasn't a high flyer or a flashy guy. But when he would take a beating in those matches and he would take a corner buckle and everything, I mean, he looked like he was getting the shit kicked out of him. And then he would make his comeback and, you know, he went in there and he was just a man's man in that ring. He was a wrestler. And I don't think even on his promos, frankly, he gets enough credit. He was not a great promo for, you know, a number of years there in WWE. But even from the mid-90s, and I'm not talking about even the Attitude Era, I think people don't give him enough credit for his promos. They were not always the smoothest. They were not always the most overly exciting. But I think like his in-ring style, it kind of matched. He just felt like a real person. And a real person is sometimes going to stumble over their lines or, you know, lose their train of thought or something, or just, you know, not always be overly exciting in what he has to say. He would go out there and he would talk about what he's going to do to his opponent in the match. He was a real wrestler. And that's what I really... That, and he made pink look cool. What's not to like? Pink is a cool color because of Bret the Hitman Hart. But thank you, Mario. You got more than you bargained for there on that super chat. I was ready to move on because you were putting me in an impossible position here, but then I think I gave you a good answer. Dry chicken without flavor, Moxley against Tanahashi in a death match. It doesn't have to be a death match. Just Moxley and we don't need to kill Tanahashi. Tanahashi is he's no spring chicken anymore. We don't need to kill Tanahashi. He's not Onita. Uffman Entertainment. I can't see Jericho not wrestling in these shows here in the East Coast coming up. Also, I'm a bit greedy because I want to see him when I go to the Dynamite show here in Newark in 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, with all these people coming in, Punk, you know, Brian, Cole, if he comes in, he's going to want to work with all of them. There's money in a Jericho Punk match and a Jericho Brian match at some point down the road. You think he's really going to just kind of give all that up? I mean, I just don't see it. It's impossible for me to conceive that he's just going to not want to get in the ring with all this new talent that they've been bringing in. There's going to be like a whole new roster of people for him to work with soon. Near, maybe Jericho is legitimately retiring. I don't see it. I don't see him doing it. See Moonsault, why will WWE not push Kevin Owens? If this nonsense continues, he needs to leave and go to Impact because AEW is over bloated. What say you? I think Kevin Owens is going to be around for a while. He signed a 5-year deal, I think, a couple of years ago, so he's not going anywhere anytime soon. You mean you're not entertained by Kevin Owens just sitting there doing the Kevin Owens show with a necktie around his neck? Are you telling me that's not maximizing Kevin Owens on SmackDown? I saw tonight he was actually in a shoving match with Logan Paul on SmackDown. Logan Paul, who gets more heat than about 95% of the WWE roster, just to be fair. The guy is a heat magnet. It's because he's a legitimate douche. People don't like him. Bret Hart. Sadly, I will not be able to watch All Out Live, despite the fact that CM Punk is one of my favorites of all time. Have a good time, lovely people. Well, you can tune into the stream after, and I'll let you know all about it. I got you covered, brother. You ain't got to worry. Dry chicken, okay, I'll be the bigger man to admit it. I was wrong about my bold prediction for Adam Cole's AEW debut on Rampage before All Out. Well, see, I told you. I told you were wrong. You didn't want to listen to me. That's on you. You gotta trust me when I tell you things. I could have told you he wasn't going to be on the show. Jamin John, favorite Nick Cage movie? Face Off. Abhinav with the $2. Who's the hottest female in AEW, Shida or Jade, in my opinion? Well, it's all a matter of your own personal taste, isn't it? Jade Cargill she's something. But so is Anna Jay. She's a beautiful girl. Rizzo. I won't rip WWE on the Twitch thing for the reason you said last week. If they let him use it, then they need to let everybody use it. But isn't that the point? Isn't that the point? Isn't that the point? That the whole thing is fucking ridiculous. Let them Twitch. Independent contractors, let them Twitch. The whole policy is stupid. Jay Culler. My prediction for All Out is that Paul versus QT will be a match of the night, as in a match that happens that night. I agree. I believe it will be a match of the night. State Markin with the $5. Just came back from the show. This super chat costs less than the ice cream bar. Much love, Solid Monster. Good night. Well, did you enjoy the ice cream bar? You didn't tell me. You told me you had an ice cream bar. You didn't even tell me if it was good. me speaking 75. It's hard to predict a winner for Darby against Punk. No, it's not. Punk wins. See how easy that was? Punk wins. I don't like the idea of doing the story that Punk loses and then has to sort of find himself. Can I still do this? Because it's almost like you're then portraying him as like this aging veteran. He's 42. You know, I'm not that far off from that. So 42 is not that old. If Punk was closer to 50, you know, maybe you could do that story. I would not portray Punk as the old aging veteran. That's about the only way I would see him losing this match. It would be dumb to beat him in his first match back. It is a very easy decision. DiLorenzo. I was talking to my brother and he said in the future there should be Okada against Danielson submission match in AEW. I asked him, there's the X-Pac rules guy with the open shirt. Look at this freak. Blocking my super chat. He says, I asked him who should win and he, no joke, said that money clip all day. Thoughts? The money clip sucks. I don't know why he insists on using that move. I hate the money clip. We are not on the same page with that. KD, surprised he didn't comment on that terrible chair shot with Black against Johnson right in front of the ref. Was it a no DQ match? I don't believe it was. When you say chair shot, what are you talking about chair shot? Did he hit him with the chair? He was going to hit him with the chair. Right, he didn't actually hit him. And when he gave him the kick, he didn't kick the chair back into his face. Maybe he was trying to, but I don't think the chair ever connected. So I don't believe, unless I completely missed something, I don't think there was an actual chair shot. Nir, sending love all the way from Israel. Well, thank you, Nir. One of our international viewers joining us here on the stream. Allie, again, thank you for the acknowledgement. I just moved back to New York recently after 8 months away. I feel like CM Punk. I am happy to be back home. We are happy to have you back home. And I am happy to have you joining us here on the stream tonight. And if you are joining me on the stream tonight, hit that thumbs up if you have not already done so. King Bling, BLA with the $5. Never been to WrestleMania, but I'm going to All Out. Are you going to the show in Queens? If not, why not? Predict what match opens All Out. Oh. Well, we were talking about a closer. I wasn't thinking really about the opener. I could see the Battle Royal. I could see the Battle Royal opening the show. I'm trying to think what else might open the show. I would say, that is a very good question. I think it'll be one of the women's matches. And I see the Battle Royal happening before the women's title match, so I'm just going to say the Battle Royal would be my guess. That was going to be on the pre-show, and now I think it'll be opening the main card. And no, I am not going to the Queen show. All the good seats were gone. I'm not sitting up in the nosebleeds, but I need to be here. That's going to be a big stream here for the channel that night. We're going to have a lot of people joining us, I'm sure. And hopefully if they make New York, you know, if they make Arthur Ashe their fan base, if that becomes sort of their New York base in the future, I'll hopefully be at some of the future shows. Paul Heyman in the chat says QT opens the show. Yeah, he should. He should be in the dark match is what he should be. Jay Culler. Best Jericho moment tonight was Taz calling a rear choke, Jericho yelling, full Nelson, and Taz replying, no, rear choke. I liked it when they were mocking Taz, like, he hasn't done cardio since 1996. They were talking to Punk about, how's your cardio? And they made the crack about Taz not having done it in over 20 years. Frankie Mattis, what's going on, Frankie? I really liked the pre-match interviews on Rampage before the main event. It is different, and it gets the match over. Yeah, it's a good... Mark Henry doesn't do much. He just has a smile on his face. He throws it from one, you know, one opponent to the other. But it is. It's different. And different can be good. And in this case, I think it does. It enhances the match. You know, one of the things in WWE that they used to do, and when I was a young fan, I used to love it, on the pay-per-views, they would have pre- and post-match interviews. And they have them now sometimes, but it's, you know, the roving reporter is just kind of like, oh, you know, tracking them down or something. Why not just have that stationary hard camera with whoever the interviewer is? It used to be Mean Gene or Sean Mooney, but whoever it is, you have that one stable camera. You have a backdrop with the event logo on it. You have a second camera that in the middle of the interview, they cut to that kind of side angle. I mean, it's an old school way of shooting it, but I enjoyed those interviews far more than the terrible ones they have now. Why not borrow a page from the past and go back to shooting them that way? Pre- and post-match interviews, especially the pre-match interview, can enhance the match a lot. I like it. I agree. KD, dropping five. Being a Coen Brothers fan, have you watched their first movie, Blood Simple, with Frances McDormand and M. Emmett Walsh? M. Emmett Walsh. And then he says, Walsh is more evil than Anton. I have not seen that movie. Yeah, we were just talking about Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men on the podcast on Wednesday. I have not seen that movie, no. Was There's Something About Mary. That was a Coen Brothers movie, wasn't it? I think it was. I did see that. Shiesty B. Darby's run to the AEW Championship. Hangman wins against Omega. MJF beats Hangman, then Punk over MJF, leading to a rematch, Darby against Punk. What are your thoughts? I like it. That's long-term booking, where if Darby loses on Sunday, he eventually comes back to Punk, and he finally beats Punk, and he wins the championship in doing so. You could play that out over the course of 18 months, 2 years. I like it. Samoan fan, how long until we get the water boy on Vince's NXT? It's funny, I watched the interview Paul White did with Chris Van Vliet, and he talked about the water boy and Captain Insano. He's been trying to get the rights to use the character on TV. He said, if I could get the rights to Captain Insano from whatever the movie studio is that owns it, I don't think he'll get the rights to it, but he said if he did, he would totally play Captain Insano on TV. So if he could somehow, if Tony Khan can pull some strings, I don't know if Warner owns the movie or not, but if he could pull some strings and actually get Paul White to use the Captain Insano gimmick, we will see Captain Insano on Dynamite. I would accept that. I would be fine with more Paul White on TV if he was Captain Insano. Although a bald Captain Insano would take some getting used to. Captain Insano had hair at the time. I would watch that. I would enjoy that. Remember, he was also in Jingle All the Way. He had the suspenders on and the Santa beard. He goes, I'm going to deck your halls, bub. Devin from NJ2000, buy or sell the American Badass or Big Evil? The American Badass. Epsilon Sama, Bret Hart was a real wrestler in a cartoon world. That's a very good way of putting it. That was the title of his book, right? My Life in the Cartoon World of Pro Wrestling, I believe, was the title of his autobiography. Ryan Spies, Paul White against QT Marshall, match of the year. Rizzo, I do agree that policy is stupid. By the way, I was just saying with the idiotic rule they have that they can't make an exception to one person and not the rest. Well, I've said that before, so you and I are in agreement. What I'm saying is it's a dumb rule to begin with. And if you are considered an independent contractor, the idea that you couldn't even stream on Twitch if you didn't use your wrestling name, if you use your government name or some other made-up name and just had a separate channel where you were, you know, maybe making a little bit of money and you have your own little community the way that Adam Cole does. Clearly, it's very important to him. the fact that that would be an issue and you're not allowed to do that, what are they, slaves? That's how they treat these people, in a way. It's ridiculous. I mean, who would want to work under those kinds of terms and guidelines? It's ridiculous. If they were an employee, I'd still think it would be ridiculous, but at least they would be employees of the company. They're not employees. So this should not be allowed. It's the whole thing is just completely ridiculous. Ryan Spies, the money clip is the best submission of all time. Well, you know, you just lost all credibility with me with that super chat. I had some respect for you, Ryan. And now I'm questioning that. Jason Case with the $10 drop. Longtime listener, first time donator. Now that Danielson is potentially joining AEW, can you share some of your favorite Danielson matches pre-WWE? One of mine is him against Nigel McGuinness. I was there for a lot of them live in the building at the Manhattan Center. But one of them, and I don't think I was there live for it, was the match, or the matches, that he had with Takeshi Morishima. The stuff with Danielson and when he had his retina detached and the whole thing with Morishima was just fucking great. So look up any stuff with Bryan Danielson and Takeshi Morishima. That, honestly, is the one that stands out to me the most. McGuinness is another one. What was it? The Pure title, I think, that they were wrestling over. There was a match I saw with him in Homicide that I remember being really good. Even the first one I saw live where, you know, he almost dove out of the ring onto me in the crowd. It was him, it was Samoa Joe, and it was Kenta. I don't think it was for the title, though. He was the Ring of Honor champion at the time. It was the main event of In Your Face. The name of the show was In Your Face. It was June of 2006, I want to say. Look that one up. Look that one up. Danielson, Kenta, and Samoa Joe. Very good match. JN Sermons. Where are the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle? They're taking a break. What are you miss Sean Spears? Are you dying to see Sean Spears? Obviously, they were not factored into the stories at the pay-per-view, and until the pay-per-view is over, there was no reason for them to be on TV. I think once we get past Sunday, we'll see Sammy and, you know, Wardlow and some of those people back on TV. Although we have seen Santana and Ortiz. They were on TV last week. Fendi, thank you for the super chat. Nir, have you ever been to Israel? No. And my friends were kind of making fun of me at one point for it because I had the chance to go and I didn't go at the time. But, you know, it would have been an expensive trip. But no, I didn't go. I have not been to that whole part of the world. I have not been there. I've been to Canada. I've been to Mexico. I've been to South America, Central America. I've not been to Europe or Asia or Australia or the Middle East or any of those fun places. I have not been there. Turtlehead, someone stole my thunder about Darby eventually beating Punk. Do you think WWE's past use of some AEW guys makes you not care about their matches? WWE's past use of the... Oh, so you're talking about people like what? Sean Spears and Miro? Not really. I look at them as having a fresh start. It's like a clean slate once they come over. You can't judge them just based on what they did somewhere else because that's not fair to them. So, I mean, some people might. It might be hard for some people to sort of disassociate them from their run in WWE, but for me, it's not that hard. I try to just judge them by what AEW does with them, and they'll either succeed or they'll fail. Paul Heyman. Do you think it's a crime that we never got a Daniel Bryan and Finn Balor program, let alone a match? Yes. Yes, actually. I believe that was very disappointing. You know what the bigger disappointment might have been? I saw that Finn Balor claimed that he floated the idea when he was still in NXT. He wanted to go to NXT UK and work there for a little bit. And obviously, he's on SmackDown, so they had other plans for him. I mean, I think it worked out okay so far. He was wrestling Roman Reigns on TV tonight, so he'll be fine. But we got deprived of Finn Balor against Walter. We were going to get it, and the pandemic killed it. It was supposed to happen at that TakeOver Dublin show, and COVID killed it, and we never got it. We may never get to see Balor and Walter, and that, to me, is an even bigger disappointment, because that would have been a fucking awesome match. And we'll probably never have a chance to see it now. It makes me very sad. Raging Texas 85. I'm not sure why I have to wait until September 30th. Sucks, man. You should not have to wait that long. You've got a... Just for a test, too. Just for an MRI. That's... we're not even talking surgery. Really screwing you over there. Rizzo, last one. Where has Andrew Yang been when he said he would go after Vince for the independent contractor crap? He went... He did exactly what I said he would do. He would disappear. He would vanish. And that's exactly what happened. Because he's like all the other ones who were all full of hot air. Oh, yeah, I'm a fan, and we're gonna take care of this Vince. He was like making threats on Twitter to Vince McMahon. Vince, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm coming for you, Vince. I'm coming for you. Yeah. How'd that mayoral run work out for you? He was so preoccupied with that. He's been awfully quiet since. He seems to have a lot of free time now. You don't really hear anything. Because he was never going to do anything. Vontel, thank you for the buck. Appreciate it. Epsilon Sama. Opinion on Danielson against Claudio. Headlock. PWG match. I don't know that I ever saw it. I don't know that I ever saw that match. I've heard about it, but I don't believe I've ever actually watched it. Raging Texas again. I'm just not sure why I have to wait until September 30th for the MRI, but it really sucks. They should have already fixed my leg and my knee. They will rebuild you the way they rebuilt Triple H. I have faith. They will rebuild you. Turtlehead, I saw a video of you and Flair today. Flair to AEW. Did you see that? You saw how I put the sunglasses on Flair? Made him look good. And Jay Culler, favorite match of Walter's reign as champion. Oh, boy. There was a fantastic match that he had, I think, a couple of summers ago with Tyler Bate at one of those UK TakeOver shows that was just amazing. But the matches with Ilya Dragunov were two of the best matches in the last 10 years in WWE. I think the second one was better than the first. The first one didn't even have any fans. At least this one had actual people in the stands. So I would probably go with the Dragunov matches, honestly. But the match with Tyler Bate was a classic. So good. Tyler Bate is so good. It's not even just Walter. Tyler Bate, you don't hear too much about him right now, but Tyler Bate is incredible in the ring as a worker. I mean, he's and deceptively strong. He's not a big man, but he is deceptively strong. All right, so we have caught up, as I promised, on all of your super chats. So thank you for all of the love, all of the support here on the channel tonight with those. Right now, I want to flip on over to our good friend, Zinfamous HD. We'll do a little WrestleMania main event. What say you, huh? You guys like this? This is where I get to be the booker. We should call this segment Be the Booker. Jim Cornette is one half of the WrestleMania main event. Look at Yokozuna's leg. My God. Oh, my God. I think that leg is bigger than Jungle Boy. Definitely bigger than Marco Stunt. Well, Who will Jim Cornette be fighting in the main event of WrestleMania? This is going to be interesting. James E. Cornette will be going one. Oh, please be Omega. Please be Omega. Cornette, one-on-one with Booker T. Huh. Well, I don't know about that one. I think Booker will make short work of Jim Cornette. I was hoping for Kenny Olivier, as he calls it. That would be a fantastic WrestleMania main event. But we will have to settle for Jim Cornette against Booker T. That is your WrestleMania main event. So says the Booker this week. I got to get Noah to do a Be the Booker soundbite that I could play every time I go to that generator. We'll call it Be the Booker. It's funny, Be the Booker, and I pick Booker for the WrestleMania main. How do you like that? I just came up with a name for the segment, Be the Booker, and fucking Booker T comes up. It was meant to be. Oh, we got a couple of super chats here before we wrap up. Jason Case, in your face, 06 was the same show where BJ Whitmer nearly killed Jimmy Jacobs with the powerbomb on the crowd. Oh, I remember. I was there. I thought he was dead. I was on the opposite side. So if I was sitting here, they were on the side directly opposite in that corner. And I couldn't see that they had wrestlers in the crowd to catch him. So to me, it just looked like he got powerbombed into the crowd or on the floor. And it looked like I was worried they both got hurt, but it looked like he killed Jimmy Jacobs. Powerbombed him from the top rope out to the floor. Over the barricade, into the crowd, out to the floor. Insane. And that was the very first Ring of Honor show I ever went to. And Chambly Games, dropping $4.99. I just wanted to say RIP to Daphne. If anyone out there is suffering, please don't hesitate to get help. Thank you for your awesome content. Well, thank you, Chambly. That was a very nice message. I endorse that. I second that. I co-sign your super chat. I am going to be talking about Daphne on the show on Sunday. That'll be episode 720 of the podcast. I will try to get that up as early as I can. It probably still won't be until early afternoon, late morning, early afternoon on Sunday. But it's going to be a packed show. We'll talk Daphne. We'll talk All Out. Any final notes and predictions? I'll be talking NXT. I'll be talking about some of the more interesting stuff coming out of Raw Monday night. You can imagine what that is. SmackDown tonight. And anything else, I'll have some thoughts on NWA 73 as well. They had their pay-per-view this past Sunday. I'll talk about that as well. So it'll be a good show. It's going to be a packed show on Sunday. And I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me here on a Friday night. It's almost 1:30 in the morning. But Chambly, I think that's a great message to end the stream on. If anybody out there is going through anything, whatever it might be, no matter how hard it may be, everyone's situation is different. People go through a lot of shit. Whether there's mental illness involved or not, you could just have some really bad things going on in your life and just be depressed. You don't even have to have a mental illness that you're on medication for. But no one should ever feel like they're alone and have no friends and have nobody to talk to. You know, hearing some of the things that she said in that video on Wednesday on that Instagram live stream was heartbreaking. And then you see the love and the outpouring of support from all the people who knew her and worked with her, and you just think to yourself, if she could have seen that, maybe, maybe not, but maybe it would have made a difference. And it just breaks your heart. You know, that all that comes out, and she isn't here to see it, and yet maybe if she was, she would still be here. But you're never alone. There's always somebody to talk to, even if you're hanging out with a bunch of degenerates like us. Whatever it might be, just know that there's always someone you can talk to. Be well. Stay safe. I will see you back here on Sunday night. As soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air, it's going to be a late stream. I could tell you that. But whatever time they go off the air on Sunday, come on back here to the channel and join me. And we will We will talk All Out 2021. And then back here next Wednesday for Dynamite. So until then, take care, guys. Have yourselves a good night.